Thanksgiving. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, and here in Campo, California, bringing you Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. This is Thanksgiving Day 2009. Next year, it'll be 2010. But you knew that. But today is 2009. And the idea of Thanksgiving has come to us through the history of the United States, when presumably the Indians and the pioneers buried the hatchet, not in each other's skull, but in the turkey. And they enjoyed all sorts of wonderful benefits of the harvest. And Thanksgiving has been subsequently made to be believed it was a time of harvest. It was a season of harvest. And that is the time of year, it is, of course, but what is there to harvest? You cannot harvest anything until you give thanks for it first. First, you are thankful for the earth and you put seeds in it. First, you are thankful for the world and you put seeds in it. First, you are thankful for your bodies and you put seeds in it. Now, we're listening and learning a great deal about monosodium glutamate, which is a very interesting device. And it is a device. It's a it's a way of making children eat. It's a way of making adults eat. It's a way of making the world eat. And what they're eating is sawdust, and they put this this device, monoglutinate, sodium
MSG.
Glutinate.
MSG.
Thank you. They put MSG on everything, and everything is so tasty. It's not a matter of sweetness, it's not a matter of saltiness, it's just a matter of, it makes it so tasty. But the industries have used it to make everything tasty, and even inexpensive items, they make it so tasty with that you eat it and buy it and you do the next thing that comes from eating it, and that is to get fat. And that is, you don't eat the minerals and vitamins and other things that are beneficial for us. Now, why is it that this sort of a condition developed? Well, in our thankfulness for the abundance of all that is all around us at all times, we think to ourselves, oh, goody, look what I found. It's mine. Look what I have. It's mine. Look what I've got. It's my secret. It's my wonderful thing. And so then we begin to treasure it. We begin to use it. And it's like if the first person who found peanuts under the ground, you know, he pulls out peanuts under the ground and he says, look, they're not potatoes, they're peanuts. They're nuts inside of shells under the ground. And so he opens it. He says, yick. Kind of soft and mushy, and it's okay. It's like a nut in a shell underground that's not ready yet, and it never will be. So then the kids are playing around. They're throwing some of it in the fire, and some of it gets roasted just enough to pop out of the shell and be there, and the kid picks it up and eats it because, you know, they eat everything. And they say, hey, this is good. What's good? Those things you threw in the fire, you know, that you found under the ground there, you know, so the shells, that's good. And so Papa tries it, Mama tries it, and then all of a sudden it becomes something that they're so thankful for, because it's something that they can easily grow, like potatoes. And so they give thanks for that, and they say, oh, how wonderful, God is so good to us, you know. And so then they eat these peanuts by the pound, and pretty soon they get by the pound themselves, and they get fatter and fatter and fatter. And they wonder why they're doing that. They wonder why these things are happening. And they give thanks for all these things that are magically happening in their life, that sort of are revealing itself to them. And I'm sure that the early pharaohs, the early Egyptians, the early primitive man who accidentally had the meat, they brought home the animal, and they had chopped it up, and they were chewing on this raw bone, you know, chewing on this raw meat, and somebody set the meat down next to the fire for some reason, and then one side of the meat got cooked and the other side wasn't. And so they were eating, and they ate the side that was cooked, and they said, "Hey, this is good. This is good." And so then they decided, "Hey, we'll roast this meat, you know, we'll cook this meat." And at first they put it too close to the fire, so it burned it up, and there was no meat left. And then they put it further from the fire, so it became cooked. And then they learned lessons little by little. And so they were so thankful for all of these beautiful gifts that came to them by trial and error. And some people learned, and some people didn't. Some people said, "Well, Mama always did it. I don't know what she did, but she did it, and so she always cut the roast so it fit in the pan." You know, but these are things that happen to us, and these are things that go on in our world, and we give thanks for the most interesting things. One of the most wonderful things that any of us can ever learn to give thanks for is for ourselves. Now, Did you ever say to your body, "God, you're a good body. You're a nice body. You're good skin. Oh my goodness, you know, you're wonderful." Did you ever stand naked in front of the mirror and say, "Man, you're fantastic"? You say, "Oh, who would do that? That's you know, boo, 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 boo." And you see, we have not learned to appreciate who we are. We've not learned. We don't mind petting our dog. We don't pet his genitals, but we pet our dog all over him, and we rub him, and we snuggle him, and we tell him how wonderful he is, and the dog just lays there and says, "Keep it up, keep it up." And we don't learn the lesson. If a dog loves to be petted so much, if a dog loves to be snuggled and huggled so much, if a little child loves to be huggled so much, why don't we do it to ourselves? Why don't we take that same love that we give to our dog or to our child or to our husband or wife or to our children? Well, why don't we give that same love to ourselves? Every morning, when you wake up, throw back the blankets and lay there, and then bring your feet up and pull your toes, stretch your toes out to get them all limber. Your toes should be able to pick up a marble, you know, but most people can't. But the thing is, limber your toes up. Then do the energy massage over your whole body. And the energy massage, just saying, "I love you." "Yes." I'm petting Rex. "I love you." And Rex immediately looked up and he says, "Go on, go on, go on. Don't let me stop you." You know, yeah, just wanted to see what was happening, you know. And our body. Now, before I touched Rex, what was he doing? He was sleeping. When I touched him, he looked at me, and he was aware what I was doing. Our body is sleeping most of the time. We say, "Well, dogs sleep a lot, you know." Well, our bodies do too. You don't even know what your body's doing. You don't even know. You're sitting in a chair, and you think your body is working. You're silly. Your body is sleeping. Your body has the slightest idea what you're doing. Your body is just comfortably, you're unaware of your body. You're unaware of your fingers, your toes, your eyes, your nose. You're unaware of everything. And you want to be aware of who and what you are. Because when you are aware of who and what you are, magic happens in your life. That's the real Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving for the magic that happens in our life, the awareness that we have of who and what we are. In a report put out by the flu epidemic people, who say the reason that we have a flu and we pass the flu around is that we touch our face at least 4 times every minute. Every minute, virtually, you touch your face. Now, sometimes you don't do it as often, but most of the time, this is a test that they have done, you know, examining. 4 times, is it once every 4 minutes or 4 times every minute? But anyhow, it's a lot. And you probably noticed me. I touch my face occasionally while I'm talking to you. Yeah, I scratch my head. And so I'm talking, and I'm doing this. Then I touch somebody else. I shake hands with you, or I hug you, and I do things. Now, this spreads the flu. This spreads diseases. This spreads all sorts of things. And now, I think that's just terrible. That's just terrible. Now, I would like to change the condition. I would like to say, every time I touch myself, I say, I like me, 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 I like me. Four times every minute, you know, I like me, I like me. Touch your face every time. And say, I like me, say, I like me. Say, build that habit up. And be thankful to build up that habit of I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And then I grab Ellen's hand and say, Ellen, I like you. And so, oh, she runs to shake right away. And so, Ellen, I like you. And I get your hand on my hand. And there you go. Next time, just gentle and firm, you know, just like that. That's beautiful. You could do that all day, couldn't you?
Oh.
Yes. So be gentle. Don't be firm. You're not having a wrestling match, or you're not having a, you know, what do you call these arm wrestling matches. You're just sharing love. And if you will come in with a gentle, firm, but also gentle handshake, then others will too. If you will come, I always have given very firm hugs, and I give maybe too firm, but I give firm hugs because people say, oh, you're a homosexual, you're a this or you're a that, you know, you like to hug men, or you like to hug this or that. And yeah, I like to hug everybody, you know. I'm a heterosexual because I like to hug women. I'm homosexual because I like to hug men. Because I like to hug me. What does that make me? Right. That makes me a me-asexual. But you see, it's so silly to put names on these things. When a father hugs his child, does that make him a child person? No, not at all. If he didn't hug his child, you'd think that there was no relationship there. There was no happiness there. Now, why can't we do this in all the world? We don't need to have possession. The father does not possess his child by hugging the child. The father does not possess the child. This is my child. This is my child. The father will hug the neighbor children just as well as he'll hug his own children. But he'll hug his own children first because that's the accepted thing to do. But if the neighbor children come up and want a hug too, he'll give it to them. He's not saying, "Oh, you're go to your father. You know, go to your own family. You know, don't bother me with hugging you." He doesn't say that. He just hugs them too if he's a hugger. And this is what we should all be. But first, we have to hug ourselves. When we hug ourselves and gently hug ourselves, that's how the energy massage is, where you just sort of slide your hand over your body everywhere, and you say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Imagine what would happen. Ellen, imagine what would happen if you picked up Diego, he's 6 years old, if you picked him up in your arms and you said, I like you, I like you, I like you, I like you. And you never did that. You said, I like you, Diego. You didn't say, I like you. You didn't say, I like your body. I think you have a nice body. Oh, Diego, you have such a wonderful body. Diego, you're such a wonderful, healthy, super little boy. You're so wonderful, Diego. You're so wonderful. And you never said that. You never said that because you didn't know how to say it. Because you never learned how to say it to yourself. And if you learned how to say to yourself that I like me, I like me, and then you said that to your children and to your spouse and to your world, wow. Wow. And you don't have to fall over your father or your grandfather to give him a hug and a kiss and then all of a sudden realize that you should have been doing that all your life. You see, the world really loves a lover. And that's what they do. They do. The world loves a lover. Now, why not we, this Thanksgiving Day, give thanks that we can be a lover? Now, do you have to touch another person to love them? And the answer is no. Can you look at a little child doing something beautiful and just fall in love with the child and never touch the child, never have anything to do with the child except just to look and admire that child being a child and being so wonderful? when you see a man and his wife in the park, and they sit down, and then he looks at her and he says, "You know, I love you." And he reaches over and he gives her a big kiss. And then he sits back and reads his book. And you think to yourself, "My gosh, I haven't seen that very often." And that's true. Now, why doesn't he keep hugging and kissing her? Because the hug tells how much he loves her. And then he went back, he came to the park to sit there on the bench and with his wife and just relax and read a book and not necessarily talk or anything, but they gave each other a hug. And now, what does a mother do when the children come in and want to go out and play? She takes them to the park and she sits down on the park bench. And the children all come up to Mommy and say, "Mommy!" And Mommy gives them a big hug and says, "I love you. Now go have fun. I love you. Now go have fun. I love you. Now go have fun." You see, her love is that key for freedom to go out and have fun. Not to be bad kids, not to be good kids, but just to have fun. Be themselves and have fun. Now the mother has trained them what the value of being yourself is, what the value is of going and having fun is, you know. And the child naturally fulfills that. Life is so filled with things for which we have every privilege to be thankful for, because this is a day of remembrance of our being thankful. This is a day of remembering the mother who sits on the park bench and the children come up and give her a hug and then they go and play. Why did they give her the hug? Because they're thankful they have a mommy. And the mommy is thankful she has these little kids. And why does a father kiss a mother or a mother kiss a father? Because they're thankful that they have each other. Why is it that when the father comes home and he comes in the door, he says, "Hi, anybody home?" And he knows that they're probably all home. And then he goes in the kitchen and there they all are preparing dinner. And he says, "Whoa, this smells good." And so he rushes to his wife and gives her a big hug. "Don't you realize you're going to get it all full of flour? Now I'm going to have to wash your suit and I'm going to have to..." She never says that.
No.
She never says that. She doesn't say, "I'm all full of grease here from the turkey," you know. She doesn't say that. And we have a friend. His name is Henry. Henry Birkin Breitenkamp. And he lives in Florida. And he has some children and grandchildren and so forth. Well, today in Florida, he has gone to visit with his family. And he said, plus or minus 25 people will be there for Thanksgiving dinner. And I like this part the best. He said, "And my wife, Kathy, has been cooking for 3 days." And I am sure that what Kathy has been cooking is something mighty spectacular. It may not be the turkey. The turkey they probably do on site, but it probably is all the extra little goodies that make the Thanksgiving dinner so precious and so wonderful, for which they are so thankful. These are the givings. It's not, we don't, do you think that Kathy's saying to herself, "Oh, I gotta do this, oh, I gotta do
that"? No.
What is she saying?
"Hey, I'm happy to do that."
She said, "Oh, they're gonna love this, they're gonna love this, oh." Now, who's another one like Kathy that you know of? Rita, Don Stekdev's wife. Don Stekdev's wife loves to cook. Oh, she loves to cook, and Don loves to eat, as we all do. But Rita loves to cook, and she is of Mexican extraction, and she is just a fabulous Mexican cook, fabulous. And she does not know how to set an empty table. If there is a square inch on the table that something can be set, she will set it there. And when the family sits down to eat at her table, they are always so filled with joy and thanksgiving that they can't imagine anything better. Now, do you have families like that? Do we have families like that?
Yeah.
Are we raised in a family where the table is always set abundantly, where everyone is welcome to come. And if a guest comes in the door, there's always room for one more. There's always, or maybe four or five more. But there's always a way to do it. We have so much to be thankful for. And the thankfulness is for who we are. Now, do you like yourself? Do you think that you're a beautiful person? Do you think that you're a happy person?
Yes.
Do you think that whether you're big or little or small or short or tall or smart or dumb or whatever, you know, you can be dumb, you know, that's okay. You know, the MSG, they took a couple of autistic children off of all MSG activities, and within 1 week, the autistic children almost were completely cured. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now, but the thing is, that takes an effort.
Yeah.
In this world with MSG and everything, that takes an effort. And that means completely changing their diet from, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken to ordinary chicken, you know. But with love, that'll come. With love, that'll come. That'll all work its way out. Now, we go through this cycle. We go through the cycle of having these things and wanting these things and doing this. Hey, just because I say MSG might not be too good for you, that doesn't mean you're going to stop eating it. Ha, ha, ha. Because you're going to have to look at every single label in the world to see what's going on, because MSG is in so many things. But if you love yourself, even if the MSG is there, you will live a healthy life. Because the MSG doesn't make you healthy or unhealthy. It merely contributes to your downhill slide or whatever. I say, if you are thankful for everything you have in your life, and truly thankful, you will always eat that which is for your highest and best. You will always drink that which is for your highest and best. You will always speak that which is for your highest and best. And you'll always surround yourself with people and circumstances that are for your highest and best. Now, that's what we truly are thankful for. That's what the Stecktab family is so happy about when they gather around the table, or when the Breitenkamp family gather around the table. They are happy for this togetherness of the family, and oh yeah, sure, they'll eat too much and they'll have a full tummy and they'll feel, you know, take a nap or whatever, but that's today. And every other day they are totally guided to eat whatever is for their highest and best. And even today it wouldn't hurt to eat what is for our highest and best. And what is for our highest and best may be to make mommy feel so happy that she put it on the table. And tomorrow, what is for our highest and best is to know that mommy puts on the table all things that are for our highest and best. We have so much to be thankful for, starting with ourselves. And I personally am so thankful that I've created surrounding me three of the most wonderful people in the universe. Thoughtful, loving, kind, and for my highest and best all the time. And I know we each feel that way about each other. So this day, when the turkey is ready, and we bought four giant turkey legs, so when we eat our turkey legs and share them, And Sylvia says, well, I'll only nibble on maybe about a fifth of it, if that much, you know. But let's just go for it. And let's just have fun. And then we'll have leftovers for the next month. But whatever, it is wonderful. So from my heart, I say unto you, have a happy Thanksgiving. And may your life, your life is filled with joy and happiness all the time, because you are my reflection.
Wow.
And that's how my life is.
Thank you.
I love 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 you.